if you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking about what the devil is up to, what he really has always been up to. From the time he uttered those words to our first parents, did God really say? And then began to spin a very subtle lie and deception that worked beautifully as far as he was concerned. And he really hasn't changed his modus operandi for all these millennia, has he? He still goes after God's word and thereby goes after God's order, because, of course, all things are ordered by God's word of law and gospel. Joining us for this conversation, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
The basic premise of our conversation going forward here is going to be that the devil attacks God's word when and wherever he can do so. We're really comfortable talking about the devil attacking the gospel, but does he attack both law and gospel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the example that you mentioned, the prototypical assault of the devil on Adam and Eve, was an attack on God's law, his instruction. Hey, don't eat that fruit. On the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And the devil attacks that. The devil, you know, it's God's word not only forgives sins, but it created the world and it orders the world. And the devil is attacking that in every place. So the devil attacks God's word, which institutes marriage. The devil attacks God's word that institutes life. The devil is a liar and a murderer, and so he will attack in any place, any place that you find God's word going forth, law and gospel. You find the devil attacking it, perverting it, corrupting it, confusing it, assaulting it, all to bring his lies and his destruction.
So let's start with kind of, we've touched upon it here, but the basic idea, and you've just given us kind of a brief introduction to it, but I want a little more detail. God's word really is the foundation of what we call the world, or I think we could say in kind of philosophical terms, reality, all that is. Pick it up there.
Yeah, that's right. You know, when we in the church use something, a phrase like the words of institution, we normally think of something like the words of institution of the Lord's Supper, or the words of institution of baptism, or even the words of the institution of the church, which is, I mean, pretty important that we confess that the church is not a movement. The church is an institution. It's instituted by God. But God speaks words of institution for every kind of different thing in this life. So in the beginning, you know, the Lord says to Adam and Eve, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Well, that's the words of institution of marriage. So that God institutes this great ordering of the world. God says, be fruitful and multiply, and those are the words of institution of family. In fact, we can use the Ten Commandments, and I think this is one of the most important ways to understand the commandments. We can use the Ten Commandments as shorthand to get back to God's ordering of the world. The commandments are protecting God's institutions. And so the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, it protects God's gift of life, especially human life, that we're made in God's image. The sixth commandment, you shall not murder, or you shall not commit adultery, protects God's institution of marriage. So that God's word, his instituting act of speaking, is what orders the universe. Now this is so, I mean, it's pretty foundational, but it's perhaps often neglected. When we hear how the pagans describe the creation of the world, I mean, the most common creation myth now is the myth of evolution and the Big Bang and this whole thing. And it's just the kind of the most recent in a long line of pagan creation myths. And when we hear these, we realize that the world is always being created or coming to be through some sort of violence. There's some sort of tearing apart. There's some sort of explosion. It's chaos. But when we read the scripture, we realize that the world comes to be through the simple speaking of God. And when he speaks, let there be light, there's light. When he speaks, let the light and darkness be divided, it's divided. So that everything comes to be through the word of God.
Now, the devil encounters this, and, do we worry about why he is hostile to God's word? What is his ultimate goal here? Because, it could just be mayhem, overturning God's order. What's his ultimate goal, although he'll never achieve it?
Right. So the devil is trying to undo all of God's doing, undo God's work. And he does it by lying and killing. God's word is truth, and it brings life. And so Jesus tells us what the devil's goal is. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is a liar and a murderer. So the devil comes to lie and to kill. And so that's his goal. And the devil would love that we believe none of God's truth, the truth of the gospel, that our sins are forgiven. That's his first attack. The truth of the law, that we're sinners, that's his, also under attack by him. The fact that God created us, that we're created in the image of God and so forth, that the devil is under attack by the devil. And so that's his end goal, is the destruction of all of God's order.
You've said here that the devil has the goal of destruction, and that's really all he can do, right? He can't build, he can't create, he can't institute.
That's right. And I think that's important, and something really kind of a classic piece of our Christian understanding of the world and the cosmos. And again, maybe something that we don't think about that often, but it is, God is the creator of the universe. Nobody else can create. And especially the devil has no power to create, so that all he can do is corrupt. So he can only attack. And he can set up, I suppose, false institutions, pseudo-institutions, a fake church and a fake Christ, a fake word, but it's always a lie. It's always pseudo. There's nothing real there. So the devil can only attack, the devil can't, in other words, create an institution like marriage. He can only come along and corrupt God's institution of marriage. The devil can't create something like freedom. He can only attack it and create the illusion of freedom, which is something like hedonism, cage-free flesh, doing whatever you want. So the devil's work is always to try to eradicate the light and bring in darkness, not because darkness is something in itself, but that darkness is just a casting away or getting rid of the light.
Well, that's another point you make. He doesn't want to be seen. He doesn't want his work to be recognized or known.
Yeah. Jesus talks about this, how men love the darkness rather than the light. If that's true for sinners, it's definitely true of the devil. So that, it's really beautiful. In the beginning of the world, God, marches all these animals before Adam, and he says, give them a name. So that God, God had been naming things the first 5 days of creation, but now on day six, he lets Adam take over and do this beautiful work of God of giving things a name. The devil hates that. He hates that we would recognize him, that we would see him, that we would be able to identify his works. So he's always disguising himself, disguising his kingdom, working in lies and in darkness. So the result, and the devil, the devil is not interested in anything being consistent. So that if he's going to attack, for example, marriage, he can attack it in completely inconsistent ways. On one day, he'll attack marriage, by trying to redefine it in the government. On the next day, he'll attack marriage by tempting husband and wife to despise each other. These are completely inconsistent attacks, but the devil doesn't matter, because he's not interested in building up something that, in fact, holds together, but only in destroying what the Lord has put in place. So this kind of self-contradictory nature of the devil's attack on things means that it's often difficult for us to recognize him and track him down. Luther says this, the devil's the master of a thousand arts. And so he's always working in different sort of ways to attack the Lord's word, and doing all this in darkness and cloud and secret.
So the principle emerges here that we can kind of track the devil's work by noting what he is against. If we want to identify it, call it out, as you say, Jesus says, expose the works of darkness. That's a direct command from him. We look at what he's fighting against. And you say it's institutions. I want you to be clear here. We're not talking necessarily about human institutions, although some of them take the form of human institutions, like marriage and things like that. You're talking about divine institutions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So because the devil's work is so slippery on purpose, just by the very nature of who the devil is and how he works, it's often difficult for us to identify his works, so that there's a way that we can do that. We can identify and call out the devil's works, not by identifying, in fact, what he's doing, but by identifying what he is attacking, what he's standing against, what work of God the devil is opposing, what word of God the devil is trying to make obscure. And so, and I think I've been working on this for a while, because I don't, and Todd, I don't know if you feel like this, or if our listeners, you know, if they feel like this, but I've always had the sense in my own life that as I kind of watch things in the world, this very uneasy sense that just that things are not right. I mean, this is not how the world is supposed to be. But I didn't know how to identify it. I mean, I didn't know what to call it. I didn't the kind of the liberalism that I was taught in high school, the idea of a sexual freedom that is all around when you watch the media, the sense of what it is to be good without being virtuous that is there, for example, when I was in college. You try to sort out what these things are, but you don't know what to call them. And I think that's on purpose, that the devil loves to work in darkness like this. But it is a truth that when the devil is attacking, he is always attacking something true. So we can identify the devil's works, even if we don't know exactly what they are, we can identify them by the object of his assault. And we could say, hey, that news story over there and that struggle that family's having over there, they don't look like the same thing to me, but both of them are an assault on God's gift of marriage and family. And now we can start to see the devil's work and, in fact, how he's doing the plotting and activity that he's busy with.
Now, before we take this break, another kind of term, if you would, to define for us. You say, at last, because of all of the works of God are according to God's word. The devil is always anti-God's word. As Luther said, and here's the word I'd like you to identify, an enthusiast.
Yeah, this also helps us understand. Luther has, and I think one of the most brilliant theological points, maybe I'll say it, I think this is the most brilliant theological point made outside of the pages of Holy Scripture, where Luther in the Small Called article says that every heresy is enthusiasm. Now, enthusiasm there doesn't mean like, I mean, we mean enthusiasm just that someone's really excited. Like I, for example, am very enthused to come to Collinsville on Friday for the conference. I can't wait. I'm enthusiastic about that sort of thing. But when Luther says it, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the theological perspective that God is working apart from his word, that God's word is not the external word, but rather an internal word, or that there's a distinction between the truth of the Scriptures and reality. Any sort of gap between God's word and the truth and ordering of the world, any gap there is theological enthusiasm. And Luther can say that every error from Islam to the Pope to the Radical Reformation, every error is enthusiasm, and we can see the same thing, because every work of the devil is nothing more and nothing less than an attack on God's word.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're talking about the devil's attacks on God's order on this Monday, June the 6th. When we come back, we will turn to how we not only name the devil's work, but also the confidence that it gives the Christian. Because after all, can anything that God has instituted, that is established and founded on his word, can any of it really be destroyed, even by the devil himself? We'll talk about that after this.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're talking about the devil's attacks on God's order. Brian, you make a point that God's works are kind of cataloged in the catechism, the six chief parts, the Ten Commandments, Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Absolution, and the Lord's Supper. But what we're talking about here in the devil's work against God's word is, you use the term anti-catechism. Explain that, if you would.
Yeah, I think, you know, we sometimes talk about a Christian worldview, but I think we could do a little better and even talk about a catechism worldview that, in the six chief parts of the catechism, in the three articles of the creed, that we see a basic summary of how God has ordered the world. We hear the catechism is, as our Lutheran fathers identified it, as it's the layman's Bible. It's the cliff notes. It's the highlights. It's the essentials for what we need to know. And so we can, as we meditate on these things, the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, the gift of baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper, we see how God is working and what He is doing. And when we see these things, then we're able to recognize the attacks of the devil, that he stands always against the catechism. So just like we speak of in the second article of the Creed, for example, we speak of Christ, His incarnation, His work, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and His promise to return, that there we have Christ, that we see the devil will come and present himself as Antichrist, the one who denies that Jesus came in the flesh. He is Antichrist. So to deny the incarnation, to deny the death and resurrection of Jesus, this is all Antichrist. But the devil is not only Antichrist, he is also anti-Holy Spirit. When he comes to destroy God's gift of holiness, either in the declaration of the forgiveness of sins or either in, you know, our lives in through despair or other great shame and vice. And God is also our creator, and so the devil comes as the anti-creator. This is the anti-catechism. The devil's work to destroy and corrupt and to pervert and to obscure God's work.
Folks, we'll have a link to some resources on Pastor Wolfmiller's idea of the anti-catechism at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You say that if we kind of begin to view the devil's assaults on God's word in this way, it gives us confidence and hope. How could that be?
Well, you know, I think that one of our great temptations that the devil assaults us with constantly is the temptation to despair. So we watch the news, or we read the newspaper, or we look outside, and we despair. And we look at the church, and we look at the condition of preaching by those who claim to be Christians, and we despair. And we look at history, and we see the way things are going, and we see the devil's work, and we see the headlines, you know, and all the news about marriage and about murder and about bathrooms and about all this nonsense. And we think, oh, it seems like that the Lord has just kind of given up on us, and the devil's won the day, and we're tempted to a despair. And this is made worse by the fact that we think that to be serious people, to engage in this life in a serious way means to do it with a despair. So the despair almost becomes a mark of maturity, which is not biblical. It's just wrong. So the devil gets us. The devil gets us with this temptation to despair on both sides. But when we understand that the devil's work is only to attack those works of God and words of God that are sure, God who cannot lie, and His word which brings forth life and it can't be undone, then we realize that it's the devil's work that's futile and not us. I mean, it's the devil's activity that'll end in nothing. There's an old saying that. And I don't know where this comes from. Maybe someone who's listening knows. I think it might be from Cicero, but it became an old piece of wisdom that's brought in, even into the church, and Luther says it in the Large Catechism, that the attacks do not destroy but confirm the essence or the substance of a thing. And Luther said it in the context of the assaults on baptism. There were the radical reformers who were attacking the idea that babies ought to be baptized, that baptism is the forgiveness of sins. They were attacking that, and Luther says, don't worry. The attack doesn't destroy baptism, but rather it confirms baptism. It confirms that what God has given us in the gift of baptism is something that's true. And I think we could take that same kind of joyful and confident approach to everything that we see the devil doing. When we see, for example, the devil attacking marriage in our divorce culture, or the idea that, you know, two men and two women can be married, or wherever the devil is attacking divorce, we shouldn't despair. But we should have the confidence to know that the devil cannot destroy marriage. Now, there will, no question, be casualties in the fight, but marriage itself will endure, and the devil's attack on marriage does us the great favor of reminding us how precious this gift is, how great the institution of marriage is, that the devil would gather and muster so much energy to come and stand against it. When we see the devil attacking the truth of the gospel, the same sort of thing is true. Jesus has established his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that as the devil brings his attacks on the truth of the gospel and false doctrine and all this sort of stuff, we can be confident that even if the world is destroyed, God's word will not pass away. So in this way, the devil's assaults give us confidence and they give us hope.
Should we remember that the devil's attacks are temporary?
Yeah, that's right. They only last into the new heaven and the new earth, so that the prelude to the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband at the very last part of the book of Revelation, that is prefaced by the devil being thrown into the lake of fire. I mean, this is really quite wonderful. So the Lord says, hey, before this great consummation of the resurrection in which the righteousness dwell, I'm going to completely undo the devil and his kingdom. Now, in fact, in a lot of ways, we rejoice that the Lord has already undone the devil and his kingdom. So we have, for example, in Hebrews 2, Jesus became flesh and blood, just as like we are, so that he, through his death, might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. But, like Hebrews remind us, even though all things are under his feet, we don't see it yet. So, in fact, in a number of ways, all the devil's kingdom has been undone by the death and resurrection of Jesus. We just don't see it. But on the last day when Jesus returns, our eyes will catch up to the fact of the cross, and the devil will be, with all of his corruption and all of his anti-word and all of his confusion, will be cast aside, and we will rejoice in the Lord's word and his truth, which will give life and life everlasting.
Kind of back to the beginning here of where the devil began his work with an assault on God's, it was a simple word, do not eat of this, there on the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And the devil simply asked that question. Did God really say this? When they say, well, this is what he said, he pushes it a little bit farther. There is an element to the devil's attacks that we should expect them, while temporary, to be relentless on this side of the resurrection. What are your pastoral thoughts of comfort for someone who says they're too relentless for me?
Yeah, that's right. Revelation 12 will talk about this, how the devil is cast from the throne of God, from before the judgment seat of God. He's cast down to the earth, and he's in a rage because he knows that his time is short. And I suppose that is a comfort for us as well. When we see and we feel and we taste the devil's rage, he is reminding us that his own time is short. And God's word, you know, which comes from this heavenly throne, which is spoken, is his ordering of the world, but also his forgiving of our sins. And that word that the devil is attacking is the same word that overcomes the devil. So that even though he's raging around, Revelation 12 reminds us that the saints overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So that the same word, this is just the most wonderful thing, the same word that the devil attacks is the word which will, in the end, cast him into the lake of fire. And it is the word that even in our daily lives overcomes him. So the devil comes and tempts Jesus, and Jesus doesn't, you know, muster up his divine strength. He simply quotes Moses, and now the devil is destroyed. So that God's word is the fumigation that drives away the devil and protects and keeps us in God's ordering of the world, and especially in the forgiveness of sins, until our last day comes.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He hosts a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, thank you very much.
You got it.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be talking about Barnabas the Apostle. He's named as an apostle, although he's not one of the official band of the apostles. We'll find out why that is. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest as we look forward to feasts and festivals of the church remembering Barnabas Apostle. And then we'll also talk with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing the centurion's servant. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.